Well, good morning. Mother's Day. What I remember about Mother's Day, I'm not teaching on Mother's Day, but my dad pastored, and I have 8 brothers and sisters. So there was 9 kids, and my mother never got the bouquet of flowers for the mother with the most kids. There was always 2 or 3 other families that had more kids than we did. I thought that was kind of... And one year, here at this church, we have 4 kids, and for some reason that day, everybody was sick or something, and we got the little gift card for the family with the most kids, and I kind of was embarrassed to take it. You know, 4 kids? First Corinthians chapter 9. For the past 2 Sundays, we've talked about the judgment seat of Christ. Second Corinthians chapter 5. We looked at that passage. Then we went to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 last week, looking at the metaphor of a builder. And today, we see the metaphor of an athlete. We're going to see in verse 19 to 23 where Paul talks about self-denial. And then in 24 to 27, he talks about self-control. Self-denial and self-control. So we'll start reading in verse 19. Giving up to gain. That's what we're going to talk about today. Giving up to gain. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ. To Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run a race in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for masteries is tempered in all things. Now they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, he's not shadow boxing. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So in these first few verses, 19 to 23, we see self-denial, denying self. He says in 19, that I might gain the more. Verse 20, he says that I might gain the Jews. Again, he says in that verse, that I might gain them that are under the law. Verse 21, he says, to them that are without the law. Verse 22, that I might gain the weak. Then he says in 23, that I might by all means save some. So he talks about running to obtain, and he talks about receiving a reward. So what does Paul have in mind when he talks about these things, when he talks about receiving a reward, when he talks about running to obtain, what is he talking about? He's talking about winning souls. That's what this passage is about, is winning people to Christ. Paul said, everything that I do, no matter where I went, to the Jews I became a Jew, to the Gentiles a Gentile, to those trying to keep the law, I was to them just like in that same understanding of trying to keep the law. Those that were without the law, and all these things he named, those that were weak. Paul said, no matter where I went, I was to those people, not that he was going against any doctrine. That's not what he's talking about. But he said in chapter 8 and 9, he talks about things that he would give up, things that I would do to win people to Christ. If meat is wrong that was offered to a sacrifice, Paul knew it was nothing wrong with the meat. But he said to keep from offending someone and causing someone to stumble and to win someone, he says, I'll give up that meat. I won't eat that meat. But then he understood that it's okay to eat that meat. How was Paul so effective in winning souls? He was a great soul winner. Everywhere he went, people came to Christ. Why is that? You see, our message is not the message of turning over a new leaf or being a good person and doing good and having the right attitude. That's not the message. His message was, as it was in what he talked about in 1 Corinthians 15, his message was Jesus and him crucified. His message was the gospel. So he had the right message wherever he went. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. So Paul, wherever he went, he had the right message. He's preached Jesus and him crucified. You see, you preach anything else, people will leave there just feeling good about themselves, but they're still lost. But when you preach Jesus and him crucified, then men come to Christ. Their lives will be changed. Then he had the right motive. We looked at that the first week in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, or verse 9, verse 11. Verse 14, verse 20, all those verses reminded the motivation, the thing that motivated Paul. And we mentioned those things, that he may be well-pleasing to him that has chosen him. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. For the love of Christ constrains us. And as Jesus has made us ambassadors, can you imagine that? That you're an ambassador and one day we'll be sons of God? Not servants, not waiting on the angels, but we'll be like him. That's just amazing how that Jesus will love sinners like you and me and make us sons of God. And that's what he does. Paul had the right calling. He was called of God on the road to Damascus. And we see in 1 Timothy, y'all know the story there about his calling. But he says in 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So he had the right calling. That's why he was able to keep going, because God called him. Not man, not mama or daddy, but the Lord called him. So and then he had the right boldness. He could come boldly to the throne of grace. And then Paul said in Romans chapter 1, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So he had great boldness. Why? Because of what Jesus had done for him, that he saved a man like him, a murderer, killing Christians. And he looked at his life and he said, I'm not ashamed of what Jesus did for me. So he had the working of the Holy Spirit in his life. He knew what it was to walk in the Spirit. He knew what it was to be filled with the Spirit. And then he had the right strategy. To the Jews, And then he went to the Gentiles. Wherever he went to the synagogue. And he preached Jesus to the Jews. And then he left there and he went to the Gentiles. And he preached Jesus to the Gentiles. We see that in Acts chapter 18. And then he had the right desire. Romans chapter 1, he says, I am debtor both to the Jews and to the Greeks. In verse 14. In verse 15, he says, I am ready. I'm always ready to give an answer. I'm always ready to tell people. And then he says, I am not ashamed. To see men saved, that was his desire. That was his debt. I am debtor. And then he gave his all. We see that in these verses. He gave everything that he may win some. Says in verse 23, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. For the gospel's sake. Paul could have said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, it says, all things are lawful unto me. He could have said that, but he didn't. He gave up whatever it took to give up to win some to Christ. Paul says, I'll be a stepping stone for people to get closer to the Lord. Will you do that? Would you be a stepping stone? Or would you be a stumbling block to keep people from being saved? It says in chapter 8, verse 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. You ever heard somebody say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I can do that. I don't care if it bothers that guy. He needs to grow up. He needs to quit being a baby in Christ. That wasn't Paul's attitude. He didn't want anybody to stumble by anything that he did in his life. But he wanted people to see Jesus in him. That was his desire. You may say, well, I'm tired of being stepped on. Or you could say, as Paul said, I'm servant to all. Servant to all. Free, not bound to eat or not to eat certain things, nor of how it's cooked, new moons, feast, the circumcision, traditions, one day over the next. Paul says, you know, I'm free of all that, but to win men to Christ, I'm willing to give up things. Paul says, I'm free, but yet I'm a slave. And we see that in Exodus 21 about the bond slave. When the bond slave was freed, he could go out. He's free. Or the slave. But he would say, I don't want to leave. I want to stay here and serve you. Then he became a bond slave. His master would take him over and take an awl and punch a hole through his ear. So everybody would see that he's freely a slave. And Paul says that in chapter 1, verse 1 of Romans, that I'm a bond slave for Christ. Mark 10:44 says, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. A lot of times, you know, we want to be the chief. But yet we need to be servants. So others can come to Christ. In the way we talk, the things we do, that's very convicting for me. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Why? To win people to Christ. Proverbs 11:30 says, he that winneth souls is wise. I quoted that verse last week in this verse, Daniel 12:3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. You want to shine like the stars? Bring men to Christ. Remember Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul was encouraging Timothy to stand. And he tells Timothy to be strong. Chapter 2 says, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Here he is, a young preacher. Paul's in prison, fixing to be martyred. This is the last book he wrote. He wrote this book encouraging Timothy to stand for Christ, no matter what happens, no matter if your life is taken, but be strong in the Lord. And he encouraged him to be a teacher, that he may be able to teach others also, in verse 2. Then to be a soldier with one thing in mind, that's to fight the battle. That's all he had in mind. Our one goal and our one thing in mind is to please the Lord, to bring souls to Christ. And then he gives the metaphor of an athlete. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. He stays within the rules. And then he talks about the farmer. But he says in verse 7, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to the gospel." He said, if none of these things settles that in your heart, remember this, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. You see, it's Jesus that we're trying to please, not man. It's Jesus that I'm to please. Paul said, some who corrupt the word of God. You see, don't talk about crucifixion, because that's bloody. That's the bloody gospel. We don't want to hear that. That doesn't sound good. Don't talk about hell. That scares people. Don't talk about sin, because that's negative. That's what you get today in a lot of churches. Because we don't want you to leave here sad. We want you to leave here happy. Well, if I leave here happy every Sunday, then Brother Tyler's not preaching the word. I ought to be under conviction from God's word at times in my life. There should be times that I need to come to the altar over the message that I hear. So Paul's not talking about setting aside truth. He's just talking about denying self. Self-denial. Now let's look at verse 24. Self-control. The athlete running to win. The believer's future recognition and reward at the Bema seat of Christ demands the present renunciation of self in his life. If I want to receive the reward, if I want to be standing at the Bema seat, at the judgment seat, I want to win first place. A guy does not run a race to come in last. I never ran a race to get beat out. I wanted to win the race because I wanted to receive the prize. And that's what Paul is saying. Running to win. Here Paul is talking about this outstanding event of the entire Isthmian Games. It was the foot race. It was 606 3/4 feet long, just a little over 200 yards. And that was the climax of the games, was the race. And all the people would sit and watch that race, and they would cheer as the guy crossed the line first. And he would receive that wreath, that pine wreath, that in about a week or two would fade away. They would receive an incorruptible crown, a corruptible crown, but Paul says, you run that race, self-discipline, denying self, self-control. Why? So that I can win people to Christ, bring people to Jesus, and one day I'll stand before him and receive a crown that fadeth not away, an incorruptible crown. Discipline. Why would we give up things, and why would we deny self? Because he had his eye on the most coveted prize, the most coveted honor of all, and that was to receive the price. He had determination. So, he said, some run to win, some just run. Some play a game to win, and some play a game just to play it. I don't want to be on that team. I might have said this in here before, I don't know, but when I played ball, I wanted everybody on the team playing. I'm not one of these guys that's just out there to play to have fun. I like to have fun, but I want to win the game. I remember at our church before, we had enough guys for two softball teams, and they asked me to coach one of them. So we're all there together, and I said, who wants to just have a good time playing? There, you guys all raised your hand. I said, you guys go over here. The rest of you guys, you're on my team. So I want to win. I want to have a good time, but I want to win the game. That's what the runner would do. That's what the wrestler would do. Or anybody that participated in the game, they gave their all to receive the prize. Direction. How far does a person go to win? Some people cheat. Some people cheat to win. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain, Paul says. Run the race that ye may obtain the crown. But one receives a prize. You say, well, if only one receives a prize, then I'm not running because I can't. There's no way I can lap Paul. He's already lapped me several times. Well, you see, we're all in the race. And you're not running as a Christian against Paul. Thank the Lord. You're not running against Dr. Barber or Brother Tyler or Dr. Weaver. See, you're running this race with the things that God has given you. Your abilities, your talents, your spiritual gift that God has given you. We're all running the race with those things that God has given us. We see that in the parable of the talents. No matter what you have, God wants you to use it. And see, you can receive a crown, but you use what God has given you. Four strategies to keep us going in the right direction. We see that in Hebrews 12. We need to lay aside distracting sin. Lay aside sin. Run with endurance. Lay aside every weight that weights you down. Not necessarily sin, but any kind of weight that would keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Nobody runs a race in boots. Nobody. I've never seen that. It could have happened before, but I bet he didn't win. We need to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. And then we need to look to the fields. John chapter 4. Jesus told him, he said, look to the fields. They're white to harvest. All these souls, they need the Lord. You say, well, people will laugh at me. People will cuss at me. People don't want to hear. There's a lot of them like that. You're right. What about those that do want to hear? We got to go find them. We all can win. We all run that we may obtain, Paul says. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. So it's for all of us. It's for all believers. this particular crown. So Paul said he could give up eating meat offered to idols if it offended someone. If that offends someone. By renouncing yourself to please him, you'll gain recognition at the judgment seat. Will you be a stepping stone or a stumbling block? Will you be a blessing or a hindrance? We have great liberty, but you deny your rights so someone else can come to Christ. So are we willing to do that? Or do we say, I don't care what these people think. There's nothing wrong with eating this meat offered to idols. I'm going to do it anyway. Paul says in verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I bring myself, I bring my body into subjection. Why? To please him. To see souls saved. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. A castaway, that word means to be rejected. Disapproved. Not standing the test. That's what it means. It has the idea of coins that are being coined. And these coins had to weigh a certain amount. Perfect amount. And if they didn't weigh that amount, they were cast to the side. They were cast away. Rejected. Disapproved. And Paul says, I don't want that in my life. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be disapproved. I don't want to be rejected. So he says, I'm willing to renounce self. The body demands food. How do you say no to food? By prayer? By study? By getting up early? Okay, Debbie, I'll do that this week. Fasting. But some people say, well, I want to sleep. I can't get up early. I want to watch TV, or I want to do whatever. Let it go, give it up, turn away. Why? You deny self so I can win souls to Christ. I get up early, read my Bible, and I pray. Why? So I can win souls to Christ, be more like him. That's how unbelievers come to Christ. It's when they see Jesus in me. It's hard for them to see Jesus in me when I never open my Bible. I never pray. I'm never concerned about others. But yet I have my Bible and I carry it like this. Like the Pharisee that came into the temple. See, he thought he had reason to be there. He named all the things that he was doing. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all that I owe. The publican didn't even lift his eyes to heaven, but he realized, I have no reason to even be here. And Jesus saved him. See, you must come to Jesus just like you are, just as you are, as the song goes. So, in our life, are you running to win that you may obtain that incorruptible crown that fades not away? Are you running to see family members saved, your neighbor saved, lost people saved, so that Christ can be glorified in your life? That's when men glorify the Lord. It's when they see Jesus in you, Matthew 5:16. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, what a humbling thing is to know that we're going to stand before God one day, not give an account of sin, That's already been paid for. But I'm going to give an account for my service to you. How I served you. What I did for you. Lord, I pray that you'll help each one of us in our lives, Lord, to win people to Christ, to bring others to you, to be willing to give up things so we can win our neighbor, so we can win our loved ones, our family, so that Christ can be glorified. And one day we'll shine as the stars in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.